I wasn't even on the court. I had never sat with the judges at all. I was just between the election and the first meeting of the court, and I was out there really working at it. Finally, the January rolled around, and it was time for the court to meet. I came up here, and I think in those early days, I used to come and stay either at a motel.
You did.
Or at the YMCA. Sometimes I stayed at the YMCA. But this particular night, I was out with Mike, and we closed the bar at the Jack Tar Hotel, or Olds Plaza, whatever it was called. And I was working very hard on selling him on becoming Chief Justice. And he was being very reticent. And finally, when they closed the saloon at 2 o'clock in the morning, I had reached the point of being able to persuade him at least to commit to me that he would think about it.
What was his reluctance?
I'll tell you.
Okay.
But finally, 4:30 in the morning, I get a phone call. And it's Mike. He says, I can't take it. Why can't you take it? I can't tell you, but I can't take it. So I go into the meeting of the justices for the first time. I greet my colleagues. I sit down, and the first order of business that the Chief Justice announces is the selection of the Chief Justice for the next 2 years. And Paul Adams, as I recall, made a motion that Thomas M. Kavanaugh be reelected for Chief Justice for the next 2 years. And Ted Souris seconded the nomination. Whereupon Tom Kavanaugh said, all those in favor signify by saying aye. And there were three votes, three affirmative votes. And as I recall, he didn't even take the negative votes. He looked around the room and he said, well, what do you guys want to do? He realized he had only three votes. What do you guys want to do? Now, I had not had a chance to talk to Gene Black or Kelly or Deathmers about the fact that O'Hara was not a candidate. And those people were all expecting me to nominate Mike O'Hara. And O'Hara is looking at me and glaring and giving me the negative head shake. And Black is looking at me and looking at O'Hara and looking back at me and trying to figure out what's going on. And I'll bet you the silence in that room lasted for 4 or 5 minutes before anybody said a word. And finally, Gene Black said in a most exasperated tone of voice, God damn it, John, I didn't like the way you handled the job of Chief Justice last time, but you're certainly better than Tom is, pointing to Tom Kavanaugh, and so I guess we're going to have to make you Chief Justice again, and I'll nominate John Deathmers. Harry Kelly, you could have knocked him over. He had no idea what had just happened. But basically, Harry Kelly and John Deathmers were of the old Republican school. You know, it was a team program for them. And Deathmers was totally shocked, taken aback, stood up with tears running down his face and told us all how thrilled he was and how flattered and how appreciative he was that the court was now about to give him back the Chief Justiceship. Or as a matter of fact, I guess we voted before he made that speech, so he became Chief Justice and then he made the speech. But he was clearly deeply shaken and touched by the whole thing, loved being Chief Justice. And in fact, had been Chief Justice longer than any other Chief Justice in the history of the state, I think.
Could be.
Because Deathmers had been chosen Chief Justice when he was a relatively young member of the court, and given the responsibility to get the papers and pencils and to do all of the administrative things. went at a time when the Carrs and the Kellys and all the other old guys didn't want to be bothered with any of that stuff. So he had had the honor and the glory of doing it, and he looked like a justice with the white hair and the deep voice and the very severe demeanor. So anyway, he took back the job. And he was an ineffective Chief Justice, to say the least. During his term of office in 1967 and 1968, the first meeting of the State Officers' Compensation Commission, then formed under amendment to the Constitution, came to be. And he went to, and we asked him, and we at the court instructed him as our representative and our leader to go down there and put a pitch in for a salary increase, because we hadn't received one in some length of time. And the court, members of the court, were then getting $35,000, mm-hmm. which was, I think, less than what maybe some of the circuit judges were making, at least not a lot more. John Deathmers went to the State Officers Compensation Commission and made a presentation which if I don't quote it, the paraphrase is very close, okay? He said, "Well, ladies and gentlemen, my colleagues want me to come down here and ask you for some more money. Now, personally, I'm very satisfied with the pay. I don't have many wants and needs. I get along nicely enough with myself and my wife on what you folks are paying me. And the people of the state of Michigan are paying me. But my colleagues, they want some more money, and so they'd appreciate a raise." Now, that was his whole presentation. And, of course, it resulted, as you can well imagine, in zero, nothing. Though I'm not too sure that the governor didn't get a raise in the legislature, but the judges got nothing.
I think I was there that time, and Gus Scholl showed for the legislature his new full-time legislature, Joe Kowalski, chairman.
Yeah, that's right.
And Gus made a pretty good pitch. Of course, these people, most of them, were quite amenable, either for political reasons or, you know, his personal charm and all the rest.
Well, anyway, that's what happened. So, 2 years later, in '69, when at the end of '68 and beginning of '69, when the Chief Justiceship was up again, I was determined to go after it, because I felt that one thing I had to do was to do something about the salary. We hadn't gotten a nickel of raise